You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Sweet 16. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've kind of had this one going over and over in my mind recently myself, and I've read it a few times in here. While you're turning to that, Sweet 16, if you look up the definition of this, one of the words used to describe it is a coming of age, a phrase, coming of age. Reach a certain age that marks a transition to maturity. Something happens when you're a teenager. Something happens even to churches or organizations. Sometimes they grow to a certain point, and certain things ought to be crystallizing, maturing, coming to pass. And if they don't happen, the thing may not make it. You have to grow up. Even churches have to grow up. People have to grow up. Men, unfortunately, a lot of times don't grow up till maybe in their 40s or 50s. Maybe. And the older I get, the more I bump that age up. You say, well, what does that mean? It just means that somewhere along the way, some basic stuff may never kick in. You say, well, does that mean women grow up? Women tend to grow up a lot quicker than men do. If you're a teenager, you see that, you know, the kids your age, you know, if you see some girl and, you know, she's 15 or 16, whatever it may be, and she sees a guy that age, there's a good chance she's attracted to an older man who she thinks is grown up, but is going to have to wait 30 years for that to happen and doesn't realize that. We just kind of resist this. And in conversations with my own kids, they get in those teenage years, and some of them are already out there, and they reach these ages, and you can kind of see the angst even that hit me at that age, like, oh my gosh, I could live, this is going to keep coming. And there's a safety spot when you're a kid. Your parents take care of everything. They provide things. There's just some protection. There's some comfort zone. You get to kind of do what you want to do, and it's kind of this sweet spot. And then all of a sudden you reach a certain age and you go, okay, I'm a few years from, if I graduate from high school, we assume everybody does that. They don't. Some people have done very well not doing that. I recommend graduating from high school. Some people realize I'm about to graduate from high school, and then am I going to go to college? And if I'm not going to college, am I going to get a job? And are my mom and dad going to kick me out? I know families, the parents say to their kids, you turn 18, either you go to college or you're out. You say, well, that's cold-blooded. No, that's growing up. And we can't shelter our kids indefinitely. They have to face reality. And so we see reality coming. We have to face it. And if you do go to college, okay, then you realize, well, what happens if I ever get out of college? And sometimes we stretch that as far as we possibly can into 5 or 6 or 7 years, you know, because we're avoiding, boom, it's going to hit us, and I have to take responsibility. You say, okay, well, I've grown up. I took responsibility. I got a job. You can have an amazing job and make a ton of money and still be a kid. And I'm just talking about emotionally and mentally. And to say nothing of growing up spiritually, which is a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. So you say, well, I'm all mature. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, how old are you spiritually? Can you put an age on that? You say, well, how would you know what that is? You'll know, because you'll be behaving like a mature Christian person, not some little punk kid. Now, let's go to that 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This verse 11 is buried in the middle, it seemed like to me, in the middle of this chapter about love and what it is and what it isn't. And by the way, there are 16 things in here that it is. I won't take the time to read all those. But in verse 11, Paul says here, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. How do children think? How do they speak? How do they understand the world? It's not reality in some cases. In some ways, it's really simple, but reality hits you and you say, you can't keep thinking that way. You cannot live like a kid and be 50-something years old. You say, well, you're saying I can't have fun. No, I'm saying you got to grow up. So you talk like a child, you speak like a child, you know, you understand like a child, you think like a child, all these things. You've got to put away childish things or you're going to lose the only life you have because you won't grow up. Because life has responsibilities and they don't go away. Go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 20. And this is writing specifically to Christians. He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Again, the next chapter, coming back to this. However, in malice, and then he doesn't use the Greek word that he used for children here. He uses a Greek word for babes, like really young children. And he says, but in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. So in terms of being evil or having malice, be very simple, childlike, baby-like. You wouldn't harm anybody. But in understanding, don't be a child. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting on with it, doing the deal. And back to men, you go, well, man, I fell in love and, you know, she kisses great, and I thought this is going to be cool. Like, it's going to be this way forever. And we got kids, and they're screaming. We got bills to pay. I'm not happy anymore. Well, welcome to the planet, dude. So you're not happy all the time. Well, I was happy before all these people came along. Well, they were probably happy before you came along, too. So what does that mean? It means you look in the mirror and you go, okay, this is life. Now, it doesn't mean you look in the mirror and get bitter and angry and hateful. You go, okay, Lord, wow, this is like, I didn't know this was all came with the package, but okay, this is it. So I'm going to thank you for my wife, my kids, my situation, my challenges, my everything. I'm going to tell you how you spot a grown-up Christian. Now listen really closely. No matter what the heck is going on in their life, they have joy. I can spot a bitter, childish Christian just like that because you look in their eyes and they're all upset and all angry about something all the time. That ain't grown up. Because when you grow up as a Christian, you realize, wow, there is a responsibility. There is a lot of stuff coming my way. There is even suffering. And I don't want to call anybody out. Well, I am going to do this. There's a sweet little black lady that sits in the back right corner of this room. And I come in here and one of my favorite things is around that corner and reach down there and hold that old lady. And when she looks up in my eyes and she begins to speak, she's got health issues, she's got challenges, but you know what else she has? She's got joy. You want to get your little tasty spoon of joy? Go back there on the corner. Are you that person in somebody's life? Are you always angry, always upset, always so woe is me and life is so hard? I get it can be that way sometimes, but if you're doing the deal, the wave that can crush you, you can ride and have so much fun with. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Whoever in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Ephesians chapter 4, keep going to the right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I had a professor in seminary. This Dr. Garland, I think he's dead now. He's taught Old Testament. He spoke like he had a plum in his mouth. You talked like this. And he said one day, he said, there is no freedom without responsibility. So you want all these freedoms? There's responsibility that comes with freedom. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, this is Paul again. He says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So don't be children anymore. Don't be subject to these people that come along and trick you. You can spot someone who's not mature spiritually. They don't know the scriptures. And somebody, I saw some guy on TV flipping channels of the day. I don't remember exactly what it was, some little vial of something, and which made it even more vile. It was, call in, we'll send you this, whatever it was, and put this on you. And I'm like, what are people thinking? And obviously it's working because he's still on the air. And they're sending him this stuff. Do not be children tossed to and fro like this, but speak the truth in love. You may grow up into all things in him who is the head, Christ. Speak the truth in love. There is a time when you're going to have to say what is true. Speaking the truth in love, you may grow up. Now, let me tell you what part of knowing whether you're growing up is. please understand this. I'm not talking about turning you into some Bible thumping, angry, whatever it is you're trying to do, or you're out there just hitting people and saying, this is what you should be doing. Here's how you know you've grown up. You're in a situation, and it's kind of like a parent is supposed to be. In a situation where you're the parent, you're supposed to act like the parent. So what do parents do? You get in a situation, things go a little haywire, something's not right, not like it's supposed to be. So what do? You say, no, we're not doing that. You may have to say it forcefully, but there's a way to speak the truth in a loving way. And if there's reaction or some kind of response, well, I don't like that, or I hate you, or whatever, you know, okay, I get you hate me. I may have hated my parents, but I'm not worried about you hating me or not. I'm trying to tell you this is the deal, okay? You're at work. You're with some friends. You get in a conversation. I was in a conversation this week. Something about abortion came up. You know what? I have a position on that. Everybody else has one. I can have mine. I don't have to be violent and screaming at people. I just say, hey, you know what? I see some people would see it that way, but here's my deal. Here's speaking the truth in love. I don't understand how a woman who is trying to get pregnant, gets pregnant, has a miscarriage, all these complications, and everybody's so upset about her baby, when if another woman in the same situation gets pregnant and decides that her baby is not a person, she can terminate that pregnancy. That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, but you're narrow-minded. No, that doesn't make any sense. That's the truth. They're either both children and human beings or they're not. That's logic. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you're a nutcase. You say, well, that wasn't very loving. I'm just telling you the truth. Because it's illogical. It's either a human being or it's not, right? You say, well, now I'm offended. I'm okay with that too. I've raised some kids where I'm sure they were offended. I didn't care, right? That's not the point. You speak the truth. That's part of knowing whether you grow up, and really, it's part of helping someone else grow up, because you just can't understand and think like a child the rest of your life. And then people come up to me and say, oh, you said that in a sermon. It's not politically correct, and you're going to alienate people we're trying to reach. People with brains are not alienated by logical thinking. They're really seeking after some truth. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Great chapter. This is Paul again writing to one guy, a young guy named Timothy, and he tells him a bunch of stuff. But one of the things that he tells him is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lusts. So what are youthful lusts? It's what men who never grow up never flee from, right? Your body comes to life when you're 14, 15, whatever it is, and you go, wow, this is amazing, and this is what I want to do, and then you wake up, you're 50, 60 years old, still chasing the same thing, and you wonder why people don't see you as a grown-up. So he says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you say, well, I'm going to flee youthful lust. That's not what it says. That's not all it says. Some people say, well, then I'm going to willfully, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to stop living that way, and I'm not going to do those youthful lusts anymore. I'll shut all that out. You're going to end up right back where you were unless you pursue something else. Because you will default to whatever you are, whatever you've been doing. So what does he say? Run from one thing and pursue the other. And these two words that are used, one is literally the flee, one is to run away. The pursue one is to press toward. So you say, okay, God, I make a choice. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to flee these things. But in running from that, I'm going to run to you. And what does that involve? Faith. Righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How will you know if you're growing up or you're a grown up? Look what you're going to be chasing. Righteousness, being right with God, or a godly life, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, a few pages to the right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. We'll jump in there while you're trying to find Hebrews. You say, well, I'm in transition here. I'm trying to grow up. Okay, that's fine. You can't get stuck there for 20 years. And I know grown men, 40, 50-something-year-old men, who are just stuck.
And they look around and see other grown men who are getting on with their lives and spiritually every way doing the deal. And they go, well, why can't I be that way? Because it doesn't just happen to you. It's choices. You flee something and pursue something else. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, or those who are mature. That is, those who by, now look how they grew up. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There was something in the news recently about a homeless guy who found a backpack. And in the backpack was like $2,000 cash and tens of thousands of dollars in traveler's checks. And the homeless guy turned it in. And everyone is shocked. There used to be a time in this country where if you didn't turn it in, we'd be shocked. And now he's a hero because he did the right thing. Why? Because nobody does the right thing much anymore. Because now we don't know what right and wrong is. Well, I found it. It must be mine now. Well, maybe somebody lost it. Is that an option? So he does the right thing. Somebody finds out he did the right thing. They set up a website, and people donated to that, trying to help this old guy on the street. And there's $150,000 in his account now. Donations by people who appreciate the fact that the old man did the right thing, because it seemingly is so rare nowadays. Now, how do you get to know what the right thing to do is and end up doing it? You get to situations, like it says here, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You get in a situation, and when the situation is evil, you go, this is evil. One of the toughest things you ever will do is get your kids to listen to the lyrics of a song, because the music is so seductive. But see, well, I don't want to think about what the words are. I just like that song because it's got a great beat to it. You've got to listen to the lyrics, because then you learn how to discern good from evil. You say, well, I don't put anything evil in my mind. Listen to the music you're listening to. Well, then I don't want to grow up. Exactly. And then you wonder why your life ends up being the lifestyle of the music you're listening to. Right? Or not? You say, well, you just don't like good music. I love good music. I'm an old Boston guy, you know. I love ZZ Top. What's some great stuff? But you know what? There's some garbage. It's just garbage. Yeah, but it's, you know, if you're trying to get high, it's great. Well, there you go. Back to not growing up. You know what I'm tired of? Is the weed conversation. I'm getting so tired of little boys in grown-up bodies telling me, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with weed. It's legal. It isn't legal where I live. You know, you don't like it here, move there. And if you move there because you want to smoke weed legally, you're not a grown-up, because now you're building your life around some vegetable. Now everybody's like, wow, I never thought of it that way. Is it legal in salads? All right. Reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what grown-ups do. They get in a situation and go, we're out of here. This is not good. It's evil. We're out of here. But Dad, see, you don't like hearing that from your kids. There's another father who gets tired of hearing that from his kids too. We are those kids where the Holy Spirit says, let's get out of here. I'm telling you right now, get out of here. But Dad, it's so beautiful. And then you wonder why you're stuck. One more, Hebrews chapter 6. Now, there is a ton in these first three verses of Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll do this one, and then maybe we're done. Hebrews chapter 6. He starts out here, he says, therefore, and you have to go read chapter 5 to see what the therefore is there for. But therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. Okay, so there are certain foundational things that you have to cover, but there is a time to build on those and then move past that. to other things. So he says, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, and this is the point he's making, the next phrase, let us go on to perfection, which means maturity, growing up, where he wants us to end up. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. In other words, this is no-brainer stuff. You have to repent from doing things that are dead works. It doesn't work. It's dead. So repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, simple stuff. Why do you get baptized? Okay, we know that. Get on with the next thing. Laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He says these are all elementary, basic things that some people get bogged down and clogged up on their whole Christian lives. Okay, great. We nailed these basic things down. Keep moving. Are you still moving? Are you still growing? Are you still reading? Are you still hungry? Are you fleeing youthful lust and pursuing, chasing after God? And that doesn't mean, guys, just that you're trying to learn new information, because this is the misnomer. People say, oh, I go to 4 Bible studies every week. You can't possibly absorb 4 Bible studies. What are you doing with all of that material? If you're learning stuff and applying stuff, that takes time. If all you're doing is just filling your brain and more facts and memorizing more things, if you're not applying it, it's not helping you. Then you just get this big old head and a body that can't function. So say, God, okay, I got the basic stuff nailed down. It's time to move forward. What's next? Now, let me give you a simple suggestion. He says to go on to perfection, and you say, okay, well, those are the basic things. I get all those things. Those are nailed down. What do I do next? Here's a suggestion. Ask him. When you pray, say, Lord, all right, I'm trying to grow up. I'm trying to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, all this stuff that I'm supposed to be pursuing. What is next on your agenda, God, not my agenda? What is my issue right now? What is it you want to work with me on? Where am I a piece of work in your eyes where I'm frustrating to you? Where do I need to grow up?
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
I would venture to say, if the people in this room, if you stopped and prayed that simple prayer and said, Lord, show me what's next, most of you would know what was next, because it's been next for the last 20 years and you just won't do it. Well, I like singing the songs. I think that's cool. And I'll give a little money and yeah, I'll study. I'll go to a little group and have some fellowship and eat some food and we'll hang out and it'll be cool. Grow up. You've got to get to a place where you are able to raise a child. And part of what any parent is doing that's raising kids, you realize when you raise these kids that this, I see little girls running down the street. I said this on a soccer field the other day. A bunch of little girls were running across the field. I said, potentially there go a bunch of moms and wives. Who are these people? Because they're going to grow up. And you say, well, how did that little girl turn out to be that way? You might go looking for her mama. Or her dad, or the lack thereof in either side. This doesn't happen just by chance. So why is this church, our mission statement from the beginning, been disciples making disciples? Because the effort is to get enough of us grown up where when non-believers who need to be born in the first place, again, need to be born again, they come in, they're born, and then there's someone here, big brother, mom, dad, to raise that kid. And that's when your life will really start making sense. When you say, okay, this is the deal. I can't be a little kid the rest of my life. I got to put away childish things. So I have responsibility. And part of my responsibility being a Christian is to look around and see others and think about someone else other than myself and say, God, use me, and get equipped to know even what to do when he does. And then it gets amazing, because then you see people grow up. And I've been at this for a number of years with this. Some people not even here anymore. They come and go, and some come and go because they've grown up and grown on, and some just come and sit. But I can go seat by seat and say, growing up, stuck in the mud. Growing up, stuck in the mud. I almost know everybody in this room. And some of you are stuck, but you don't have to live and die that way. And some of you are growing up, and it's one of the coolest, most encouraging things you can imagine. And you don't have to imagine because it's right here.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.